The third commandment, as we read in Exodus 20, verse 7, is this. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. In connection with that, let's turn in the Heidelberg Catechism to page 55, and we'll read together questions 99 through 102. And then we'll turn to Psalm 34. I'll read the question and let's respond aloud with the answers, beginning at number 99. What is God's will for us in the third commandment? That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In a word, it requires that we use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess him, pray to him, and praise him in everything we do and say. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent it and forbid it? Yes, indeed, no sin is greater, no sin makes God more angry than blaspheming his name. That is why he commanded the death penalty for it. But may we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? Yes, when the government demands it or when necessity requires it, in order to maintain and promote truth and trustworthiness for God's glory and our neighbor's good. Such oaths are approved in God's word and were rightly used by Old and New Testament believers. May we swear by saints or other creatures? No, a legitimate oath means calling upon God as the one who knows my heart to witness to my truthfulness and to punish me if I swear falsely. No creature is worthy of such honor. And then let's turn together to Psalm 34. We'll read the first 10 verses and our text this morning, besides the third commandment from Exodus 20, will be verse 3. And before we read, let us again bow to pray. Indeed, Lord God, how glorious and majestic is your name. Now as we open the Holy Bible, water the hearts of those who hear your word, that seed sown in weakness may be raised in power for the glory of Christ. Amen. This is the word of God, Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Much loved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that we are studying the Ten Commandments, but Do you know why? For a person who doesn't know the Lord as God, surely those commands, if they hear them at all, would be tiresome to hear. And except for the ones that come naturally, would be burdensome to do. But a person transformed by the Spirit of God says with the psalmist, "How I love your law, O Lord. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Or with David, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together." When we exalt his name, we glorify God. Let's review where we were last week briefly, beginning with the meaning of the third commandment. If you were to draw up a list of 10 things that you think are most important for people to do, or specifically for God's people to know and to do, what might you include in that? Well, no murder. That'd be a good thing to have on the list. And don't steal. Another good thing. No adultery. That'd be a good thing on the list. But how about this one? The name of God? Would you include that? Well, once we understand what the meaning of the third commandment is, I hope we would heartily say, indeed, we would. We do not say the name of the Lord or take his name upon us, which is our identity. Remember, we are called by Christ's name, Christians, unless we do that in a way that honors him. If we treat his name and therefore him as unimportant, or the subject of a joke, perhaps, or anything less than the highest honor that is due him, we break the third commandment. Breaking this commandment means then treating his name, therefore treating him as vain. Do not take his name in vain. That is, don't treat it as common or unimportant or insignificant or worthless. The third commandment is broken as often as any others, perhaps more often. So, where we're going this morning as we move forward is that to obey the third commandment is to honor him with our words, with our lives, with our love. Keep that in mind. To obey is to honor him with all that we are. We saw briefly last week to the beginning of sin, or what is forbidden, and we saw four examples of how we break this commandment, how people do anyway, with their words. First of all, to curse man in the name of God. To call God to damn someone is a clear violation of the third commandment. Second, to use his name in a thoughtless or frivolous way. God, Lord, Jesus ought never be on our lips except in praise to him or witness of him to others, always with reverence. Third, using his name, and therefore him, in a superstitious way, as if he's a magic charm. So some horrible thing comes to someone or a nation, and all of a sudden people look to God, although many of them aren't even sure who they're turning to, is often a superstitious use of his name. And fourth, using his name and his word to justify your own ideas. Be careful if you say, "The Lord told me," fill in the blank, because it is so easily used that way to promote what you want to say. Be careful how you use the Bible. We can take something out of context. We can twist what the Holy God has said to promote our own ideas. We heard a good example of that as we drove down this morning in a sermon. And one of the things touched on, he preached from Daniel 1. And some have taken that passage to promote now the Daniel diet or the Daniel plan. It's eating only vegetables. And on the surface, it's a silly thing. But scratch below the surface and it robs God of glory. That was his plan all through Daniel. Even if you don't know the Daniel plan, the thought is using God's word for a purpose that he had no intention of promoting. And then I ask the question that some surely, if not here, then elsewhere are going to ask, aren't you taking this all a little bit too seriously? It's just words. And then I remind you that words have meaning. And I remind you what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 12. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Because out of the mouth, the soul speaks, if you will. What we say reveals what's in our hearts, like a tree that produces fruit, good or evil. And then we saw further two examples of how we can sin against God's name in our actions. One of them is hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing another, claiming the name of Christ but not living as he would have us. And the second example was covenant breaking. When someone breaks a marriage vow, for example, the sin is not only against the spouse and perhaps the children that are part of that family, but it is a sin against the Lord because you took the vow in his name. Anytime we treat a vow lightly, whether it's marriage or baptism or profession of faith or the other rare occasions when we do that, anytime we treat his name lightly, we treat him lightly. And all of this, if we are to be honest, is very convicting, because every one of us is guilty of treating the covenant and the covenant Lord with less honor than is due him. But before we are through this morning, there will be a word of grace. Always a word of grace. So let's go on and consider the beginning of obedience, or what is required. If covenant breaking is one expression of sin, then one expression of obedience is keeping our vow. For anyone planning to marry any time, whether here or listening on sermon audio, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to consider those wedding vows seriously and to take them only with a sincere heart and know going into it, as all of us who are married will testify, sometimes it's very hard to keep them. Sometimes you won't want to. And yet you take vows not only to that person, you take them to God. And God serves not only as a judge if you break them, but also your helper in keeping them. The Lord and His grace and His people are a source of strength for all of us to fulfill our vows. Let me, as an aside, put a plug in again then for the importance of church. That we together hold each other up and pray for one another that we may keep our vows when it's hard. For everyone who has ever taken marriage vows or made a public profession of faith or baptized a child or entered into office in the church or taken military duty and vows, God is your helper to fulfill those vows well. Turn to Him, turn to His people, the church, to help you be honest and faithful. And doesn't it make sense that any time the honor of the Lord is at stake, the enemy of the Lord will work overtime to lead us into sin? It's also true that when we take vows with a sincere heart and fight against sin in our lives and seek after holiness, the Lord God Almighty, who has bound Himself to you in covenant, vow, and love, will supply all you need so that you can fulfill it and experience His blessing. His desire, above all else, is glorifying Himself, His name. And you have His help then, sometimes in the body of other believers, to accomplish that. So one way we obey the third commandment is keeping our vows. The second way is to speak His name with reverence and awe. Psalm 83, verse 18. Let them know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are most high over all the earth. Or Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. You notice, of course, how we speak about certain people. Jared Polis is Governor Polis. Joe Biden is President Biden. The God who reigns over heaven and earth, who created all things by the breath of His mouth, who is righteous and holy and lives in unapproachable light, is God. He hates sin with a perfect hatred and yet came to earth in the flesh to save sinners. He lives in His people through the Holy Spirit. That God deserves and requires nothing less than highest honor and deepest reverence. When we read in our text this morning, magnify the Lord, think of a magnifying glass. When you hold a magnifying glass up to an ant or a bug or whatever it is, it doesn't make that object bigger, except in our view. It seems bigger to us and clearer. When we magnify the Lord, we don't make Him bigger, of course. But in our minds and in our hearts and in our view, He is clearer. His glory is clearer and more wonderful to us. And that's something we do together every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. we come together to magnify the Lord, to see His glory and His strength better. And it's something we do through the week as we open His Word and pray. A third way we obey this commandment is to honor the Lord by all the means that He has provided for us to know Him. Use the means He has given to us to know Him. And there are three, mainly. I think you're thinking of one already. The first one is creation. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies above proclaim His handiwork." Paul wrote in Romans 1, "Since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are, even His eternal power and Godhead." We sing, "This is my Father's world." And every detail displays something of His character. Look to creation and see your God. Secondly, history. A fuller term would be the works of His providence. The works of His providence, which we see in history and current events. If we talk about luck or coincidence, we rob God of His glory, because He has ordained all things, and we see His hand working in the past, and sometimes we can even see it in the present, including the tragedies and the hardships in the world and in our lives. He is just as much God in the valley of the shadow of death as He is on the mountaintop of rejoicing. So creation, history, and then of course the Bible. If we seek to honor the Lord, we must pay attention to what He has said to us in the Bible. To the preaching on a Sunday morning, and to His Word between Sundays. The Bible is not dessert that we enjoy once a week on a Sunday morning. It's daily bread that we feed upon through the week. If it's hard for you to stay awake through the service, if standing would help you, then stand. I'm quite serious. Stand to the honor of the name. Children, your listening is important for your souls. I remember well when one of our oldest nephews was 2 years old, and it looked like he was goofing off in church. It always looked like he was goofing off. And then he said something that was what the pastor had said. He was listening. He was learning. Even parts you don't understand, you will in time. Taking notes. I may be a bit compulsive, okay. But it helps me concentrate. Even if I throw them away afterwards, it helps me focus on what is being said. And if it helps you too, write on. Bad pun, I know. Another way to obey the commandment is by declaring the will of the Lord to others. There are men, one of them within our church family, who stands behind the sacred desk, the pulpit, and says, "Thus saith the Lord." There are other men who serve within our church family as elders, who on occasion bring that word to some of us. All of us bear witness of Christ to others, and we need not be embarrassed or ashamed of the Lord and His Word. We've read from the Catechism how even saying nothing while someone else takes the name of the Lord in vain is a participation in the sin. We don't like to hear that. We'd rather pretend we didn't hear. But if we confront such a person and they say, "You have no right to tell me what to do," we could say, "You're right, but I'm not." It is the Word of God, and He does have that right. He made you. Your fight is not with me, it's with Him. When we apply perhaps a word of correction or a rebuke, that also applies when we bring a word of comfort. I may wish you well. You may wish your friend well. But it is only God through His Spirit who makes you well. Physically, emotionally, spiritually. When we bring a word from the Word of God, we bring true healing, help, and hope. Then we obey Him and we honor Him in regards to the third commandment when we submit to His authority in all things. In our business dealings, our word is as good as a signed contract. In marriage, when a husband loves his wife as Christ loves the church, and a wife submits to her husband as unto the Lord. In a home, when children obey their parents with respect and honor, not because those parents are perfect, but because they do represent God in the home. In the career you choose, in the vacations you dream of, in your retirement plans and every big and little thing of life, seeking not our own honor or our own kingdoms, but the Lord's. And then one more. Think of how all these things honor and witness to others of Jesus Christ. When you keep your marriage vows and you tell someone you've been married 5 years or 10, you know how rare that is getting to be in our country? To be married 10 years to the same person? Or 20? Or 50? What a witness to the faithfulness of God to you. When we speak the name of the Lord with reverence, when we give up self for the kingdom of Christ, while others around us are looking out for number one, that is a witness of something greater, a greater God. What a winsome and powerful witness we could bring to others that God in Christ is a greater treasure to us than anything and everything on earth. To the extent we honor the Lord, our witness to a watching world, to neighbors and classmates and co-workers will be attractive, and God promises it will be effective. Let's close with one more part of the third commandment. God gives a reason for it in Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. What an understatement that is. He will not hold him guiltless. He ordered the death penalty in the Old Testament for it. Little is said here in this verse, but much is implied, that Judge God will find the sinner guilty and punish. I don't know if it is still true. It wasn't that many years ago that blasphemy was a crime in every state in the U.S. Can you imagine that? No one would be arrested today for taking the name, the Lord's name in vain. Many people are so used to it they don't even notice. But God does. No one escapes his judgment. Either your sin and mine is punished in Jesus Christ, and we are then freed to declare the wonder of the glory of the Lord, or that punishment is yet to come upon the sinner. What joy is ours, and what relief that Christ paid the penalty for all our sins. We celebrate that when we sing, when we pray, when we honor him, and this morning as we take the sacrament as well. Now we speak his name with respect, with reverence and awe in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions before others. Christ Jesus died in the place of sinners so that we might live forever. He was rejected by God so that we might be forever accepted. And when we honor him in all that we say and do and think, we enjoy his blessing of body and soul for time and eternity. Let this be our testimony. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how magnificent and majestic and mighty you are. We ask humbly and earnestly that you would forgive us of our sins, and in particular in regards to how we have taken your name in vain. In word and action. Forgive us fully because of the sacrifice finished by Christ on the cross. And then hold before us, not only on a Sunday morning, but every day, the glory and wonder of who you are. That we will speak your name with reverence and awe, that we would be a faithful witness to others of the wonder of our God. And so be glorified in us, O Triune God, and hear our prayer for the sake of Christ. Amen.